Welcome to the Switch Leader Podcast, where we decide today the leader we will be tomorrow.
Hey friends, welcome to another week of the Switch Leader Podcast. My name is Josh Baldwin, and I'm here today hanging out with my good friend and longtime friend, Jessica Wazak. Jessica, thanks for hanging out with us on the podcast today.
Yeah, really glad to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you, and I hinted last week that you were going to be here and at what the topic would be about. We're talking today about student behavioral patterns. Now, that's kind of like a really wide and broad sounding title, and it's supposed to be. So I would love it if you would share with our team maybe just like a little bit of what your work experience or life experience has looked like to be able to speak into this topic.
Yeah. So I think several things. First of all, I work for an organization where we partner with families who are struggling or in crisis, dealing with really heavy, hard things that they're trying to overcome. And so a lot of times when families have lived in chronic chaos, there's a lot of behaviors and different things that children or teenagers will experience because of their life circumstances. So that's thing one. I think beyond that, I have spent most of my life working with kids and students in some capacity. Part of that is working in the organization I'm with. Previously, I also worked for two different organizations, one that worked with students who were in schools and also teenagers who were on probation. And so trying to help them figure out ways to live in their life and become successful adults by identifying some, you know, just different ways that they could overcome barriers. And then the other being an organization that I spent a couple of years as a teenager volunteering in and then later worked for, which was an organization working with kids and students with a variety of physical, mental, and sensory disabilities. And so lots of different things all along the way. And then I guess for this context and this audience, I have actually been able to serve in both Life Kids and Switch for the better part of 18 years, which makes me sound really old.
she's not as old as what you're thinking when you hear that number. So
yes. So it's been a big gift. Number. I know, it's wild. I was thinking about it going, dang, that's a long
time. She's actually only 19. So she's only 19 years old. And so started at one. It's been really, just really wise early on.
Absolutely.
So that's really great. While I was the youth pastor at Northwest, Jess was a Switch leader there as well. And so I got to be very close to her and benefit from her leadership and wisdom, and the team at Northwest continues to get to do that. And so I'm really excited to get to hear you speak into this topic, because it's one that working in youth ministry, I think a lot of people who are leaders, right? I think a lot of Switch leaders did not think about likely when they started serving in Switch. Similarly to people that maybe even serve in Life Kids, because this isn't necessarily specific to an age type. I mean, there's kids of all ages that are dealing with all different kinds of different behavioral patterns, and it can be challenging, really, really challenging. And what's important is for us to be able to be equipped and to know, okay, why is this happening? Or if it's happening, what might it mean and how can I deal with it? And so that's the goal today, is that our leaders listening would walk away going, hey, I feel like I've been equipped. I feel like I've learned more about why certain things may be happening, but not just that, also, what do I do with that? And so really looking forward to the conversation. What we know and what our leaders have experienced is that students are different. You know, when you're a kid, especially as a teenager, things just feel amplified. And so serving in student ministry, it feels just like this amplified difference. And so as a small group leader, let's say you've got seven students in your small group, man, you might have a few that are this way and a few that are that way. And you've got kids with different personalities that receive things differently and deliver and communicate differently. And it can be a challenge. And that might be an understatement of a word to use to describe it. And so we recognize that, and we know that it can be really difficult. So aside from just the communication differences or the personality differences, there's also students with different backgrounds, and they just have lived different lives. And so because of that, they may show some very, very different behaviors. And so Jess, I'd love if you would take a minute and maybe share with us Is there like a story or something that you can think back and remember to a time when maybe a student was showing a certain type of behavior? And at first it seemed like clear cut, like maybe it was just disrespect or it seemed obvious. And as you dug deeper, you discovered, no, this is something more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple things before I tell a story. Two things. One is just recognizing kind of what you said, that all students are a little bit different. And so you may see two students with a similar behavior or, you know, they're expressing that in a similar way, and they may actually have a completely different need. And so the second thing is to recognize is that behaviors are often a way that we communicate what we need. So it's not even, you know, if you think about a baby, right? Like when you have a newborn, they cry. It's the only thing that they can do. That's one way that they tell you, like, I'm hungry, I need my diaper changed, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Similarly, a lot of times I think we look at students and think they're old enough to be able to, they talk a lot, you know, they're old enough to communicate right. Verbally. Here's what I need. And the reality is many of our students, they don't actually have the ability. They're not even always aware of exactly what they need themselves. And so to be able to articulate that verbally, it's a big thing to expect from young adults and teenagers, especially right. Even preteens. So that all being said, one of the things that, you know, stands out to me, there's a student that I had the opportunity to lead, you know, 100 years ago in my very first switch group. Now, I'll just be real, real transparent. I was 18 leading a group of sixth graders, right? So I'm brand new, fresh out of high school, super excited. But mm-hmm. I had this amazing group that grew from, you know, six or eight to like 28. And they just multiplied over the semester.
These were the big switch days.
Yes.
These were the throw a big party and just they come from everywhere, right? Yeah.
Everywhere. So yeah. Such a gift. And yet at the same time, like there's some challenges. You know, we mm-hmm. had kids that would walk to switch. And so I think many of our campuses, you know, we probably still have students who walk to switch who their parents don't come to church on the weekend. Their life may look very different than some of our students whose parents are really engaged. And so anyway, I had a student who I am calling Dorito because one of the things that I learned is that everyone, you know, wants to feel part of a community. They want to be connected. And so in my group, many of my girls had nicknames. And so this particular student we called Dorito. And there was a few reasons for that. But here's the thing. She came every week. And every week I would show up and be like, this girl, she was behaving in a way that I was like, it's exhausting. It's literally exhausting every single week. And so every single week I'm talking to Dorito about, hey, like we can, you know, we can have a good time at switch and I need you to be respectful of everyone else. You know, we can do different things, but man, like we've got to get it together. We can't, you know, continue to be disrespectful and disruptive to everyone around us. And so she kept coming back and I would leave on Wednesday nights and just be like, what in the world just happened? And thinking like, this kid's not going to come back. Like I feel like I have to yell at her every week. And so she kept coming and I was always surprised. Well, here's the crazy thing. So I'm seeing disrespect. I'm seeing like just not harmful, but aggressive behaviors, right? So it's creating this environment in our small group that feels very chaotic. And it's this one particular student. And so it was really a beautiful surprise when years later. So I thought, you know, this student is never going to come back. She kept coming. And then all of a sudden she just disappeared. And I unfortunately had not been able to connect with her parents. They didn't come to church. You know, they weren't connected in any way. They wouldn't respond to messages, had never gotten the chance to meet them. So she disappears. I have no idea where she went. And it kind of broke my heart, even though like it did create a less chaotic Wednesday night. It just like she was such a part of our group and such a, you know, fiery, fun person. So fast forward, and this is where it became clear to me. So fast forward, she is a senior in high school. I was actually not living in Oklahoma anymore. So I actually came back to MC an event for kids who are aging out of foster care. And I'm walking around getting to know all the students because I was about to be on stage having to say their names. And so I walked around, I see this you know, girl, and just like everyone else, I'm like, hi, I'm Jessica, you know, how are you doing? And she tells me her name. And I was like, I've only ever met one person in my life with this name. So I looked at her and I said, did you used to go to Switch? And she was like, yes. And I said, did you used to go on Northwest Expressway? And she said, yes, when I was in middle school. And I was like, do you remember me? And she looks at me and goes, oh, you were my leader. And
oh, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was how like, cool. I was. And so I said, Dorito, oh my gosh. And we hugged and I was like, that is incredible. But it was such a reminder, like the student sitting in front of me was so calm and peaceful and joyful. And she invited me to her graduation and was so excited, mm-hmm. you know, to share that moment. But it brought me back to the behaviors I was seeing. And I would have just said, she's disrespectful. Like, she doesn't want to be here. I don't know why she's even here. And the reality was, like, she was experiencing a lot in her home life and in her school life that caused her to react in some ways that felt disrespectful or felt like she just didn't care about anything or anyone. And so for that reason, I think it's so important to recognize that, like, a lot of our students are coming from hard places, or they're having difficult experiences making friends at school or connecting in their families, or even sometimes their home life is just really, really tough. And so recognizing where they're coming from can help us identify, like, how do we engage with them and help them feel like they can be successful and loved and Switch.
Right. And I love that you mentioned that when she went, you know, when she stopped coming, while it made your small group easier, maybe a little less stressful because of some of the chaos that maybe she brought, it was really disappointing because you were deeply invested. And I think there's a lot of our leaders that can understand that. And I've walked with quite a few leaders through that very same thing, that this student is here and they create so much chaos. And you're like, man, I'm just exhausted of dealing with this. And then when a time comes where that student, maybe they move or something happens, or like in this case, they just stop coming, I'll have a conversation with that same leader and they're like, yeah, I miss them now. You know, like, it's like, now I wish they were back. And so I love that. And that actually shows the heart of a leader. It shows that your heart's where it needs to be. It's fine that you get tired. Like, it's totally fine. So don't ever feel like, man, I'm a bad person because I'm just frustrated and tired. No, you're not. You're a human being and you're just tired. Like, it's okay to get there as long as we're able to reel ourselves back to the purpose and remember that, hey, nobody said this was going to be easy. It's going to be tiring sometimes, and that's okay. It might actually mean I'm doing it right. So you hit on this a little bit, but I'm going to ask you if you can go into a little bit more detail to give us some examples of ways that students might act out. So obviously hers looked like disrespect, but like, what are some other examples of ways that a leader could see a student acting out in a particular way that maybe in reality, what they're trying to do is cover up a problem?
Yeah, I think there's several. And so I'll give a couple of examples from that I've had recently. Sometimes they are just being disrespectful, or that's how it mm-hmm. looks. Sometimes they're withdrawn. And that's one of the ones that I always want to pay attention to when we have students that are really withdrawn or not engaging, because that's also can be a challenging behavior to manage and navigate.
Yeah.
Because the context of Switch, like, we want to develop relationships. And what we know is all relationships need three things. They need time, they need trust, and they need safety. And so sometimes we can see that students aren't quite feeling safe or connected. And that can be a really good indicator for us that we need to, you know, create some space to get to know them in a different way or connect with them in a different way. So I never want to leave out the students who are maybe the easy kid, quote unquote, because a lot of times, like, that can be a behavior that kind of cues us in that we need to dig in a little bit more with them as well. Another one that I think is really interesting is we see a lot of students who, like, have to go to the bathroom, you know, in the middle of worship or during the message or things like that. And
like four times.
Yes, like four times. Yeah. So one of the things is sometimes students are trying to get out of something, right? However, I do pay attention when I have this same student that will come out during worship, and specifically worship, because it can be a really overwhelming part of the night for students who have, like, sensory challenges, or they get easily overwhelmed. And so when I see students that are doing that, sometimes I'm a little more lenient and recognize like, oh, that student might be getting overwhelmed. And the way that they deal with that is by stepping out of that kind of loud, noisy environment, and just going to the bathroom can be that brief moment of sanctuary that they need to be able to regulate themselves and come back. When that doesn't happen, there's some other tools and strategies that we might get to talk about. But I think those are a couple things to pay attention to. You know, one other one that I think is really, I see it in Life Kids and in Switch, and I'm going to share a Life Kids example just because I had this happen 2 weekends ago. So I had a five-year-old that was, the leaders were like, she's feeling sick. She's kind of sitting in the corner. I can't get her to participate. So I came in and, you know, like typical, going to assess, like, how are we doing? Well, I noticed that she's fidgeting with some toys and she's sitting off by herself. She doesn't appear to be sick and she's not hot and like feverish. So I just asked her, instead of saying like, hey, are you feeling sick? I looked at her and I sat down, got on her level, and I asked her if she felt scared because she kind of was shrunk back a little bit. And she's like, yes. And so I realized, okay, she's scared. She feels disconnected. She just needs a little bit of connection and then she'll be able to come back and join the group. And so sat with her for 2 minutes. She is like, good. I invited her to come and join me in sitting with one of the other leaders in the room and the kids. And literally that's all she needed was just 2 minutes right. of connection. And we see this with our Switch students as well, where sometimes they just need you to recognize that this sick, you know, feeling that I have, sometimes it's anxiety, right? Sometimes it's my stomach hurts and all I can identify because I'm a 14-year-old and not super, right. my body and brain aren't always connected. All I can say is I feel sick or I feel nauseous. And so just kind of recognizing some of those cues can be ways we can meet them where they're at and invite right. them into something different.
Right. That's really good. One of the things that you mentioned in your notes that I loved, or kind of the verbiage that I see in your notes, you said kids and teens aren't always aware of their own bodies. And so like they could feel fear because of this stomach ache, or anger might feel like feverish or hot, right? Or hot face or tight chest. They're not aware. And it made me think, I was like, yeah, I'm not always aware. You know, like when you were describing what anxiety can do, man, anxiety can mess you up. And it's so hard, especially if you're in that place, then you're even worse at identifying it. And so as challenging as that can be as an adult, just imagine how challenging that is as a student. Yeah. And I love that you pointed that out, because I think that it's important for us to be able to sometimes help them navigate that. Like, yeah. Hey, okay. Yeah. I totally take seriously what you're dealing with. And I believe actually mm-hmm. that you're dealing with it. Let's see if we can't figure out what's causing it. So
yeah.
I really love that. We've been given a little bit of awareness on what to look for, or what different things could, you know, different ways a student could act something out. What I'd love is if you could give us some strategies, or maybe like a mindset to have if we're dealing with a student or a group of students that maybe just kind of act out in a different way, or they struggle with some behavioral patterns that are difficult to deal with. What are some mindsets or strategies that we could implement to help us work well, to love and support a student like that?
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm going to try to say multiple things pretty quickly. So there's like a million things we could dive into. And I know that you know, this is not going to have the time to do that. But a couple of things is just remembering that, again, behaviors are a way that students are communicating what they need. And they may not be able to verbally communicate that to us, even if you straight up ask them, like, hey, I see you doing this. What do you need? They might be like, I don't know. And that's to that point. Like, our brains and our bodies are not always super connected. And that can happen a lot of times when we've had really traumatic backgrounds or various different things. It's a developmental thing. That takes time, right? So one of the things in particular to recognize is, particularly when you have students who are acting in a way that you would say is inappropriate or disrespectful at Switch, right? They may be reacting to a situation that's happening around them. And the thing to remember is that as our students are growing and developing, that front part of their brain that helps them, it's called like executive functioning. So like really high level decision making and impulse control and having sound judgment, that part of their brain is not fully developed. So they may be reacting to something and you're like, why did you just hit your friend? And
yeah.
They may not actually be able to tell you why they just hit their friend, right?
Right.
Sometimes that's a response where their body's like needing something and they're reacting. There's a million examples of that. But I think sometimes our switch leaders can be frustrating when you see a reaction and then you ask them the question and they just can't even articulate like what happened or why they did the thing that they just did. So recognizing that their brain isn't always developed enough to
like when it's like when my 6-year-old knocked over a bowl of milk this morning just before we walked out of the door for school.
Yeah.
And I was like, what just happened? And he just couldn't tell me, you know, just like, so same thing.
Yeah.
Same
shrugs thing. His shoulders. I don't know.
Right. That's exactly, like, that's actually literally exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what we see all the time, right? Our 6-year-olds and 16-year-olds, there's some differences,
I mean, really though.
Exactly. So I think a couple of things that we can do is we don't just let them get away with everything, but recognize where they're at. And instead of asking them that question, maybe we could pull them aside and have a different kind of conversation. Setting expectations, like set ground rules. I was talking to a small group last night and they've been together for a long time, but man, they've grown like crazy and they do not trust each other because they don't know each other. And so they need those three things, right? They need time, they need trust, and they need safety. And so I asked them the question. These are high schoolers. So I asked the question, like, what would it look like for you to feel safe in this group? And we just got to talk about and process what that looks like because we all need a little bit different, you know, different things at different times.
Right.
But we could have some ground rules in our small groups, in our switch groups that make it feel safe for everyone. Such as like, you know, putting our phones in the middle, having a prayer sec, having different consistent things that we do as a group that's part of our kind of community culture that makes us feel connected. And then for particular students who may be struggling with reaction or overwhelm or things like that, one of the best tricks that I say every time we do an orientation for new leaders, I just kind of talk through, here's a few things. When you see a student in the auditorium, and it's really hard because it's sometimes loud and it's in the middle of the message, and they keep doing something that you're like, you've got to stop doing this thing. Stop poking your neighbor. Stop talking in the middle of the message, whatever it is. Instead of saying, hey, stop that, it can be really helpful to say something more like, hey, you're welcome to have your phone out if you are checking out YouVersion, but it's not okay to watch TikTok videos in our message. Or something like, we're going to have time to talk to our friends during small group, but let's not distract each other during worship. So you can tell them what they can do instead of just telling them the behavior that you want them to stop.
So good. So, hey, last question, and we'll kind of wrap things up. So as leaders, as adults that are pouring into young people who are dealing with things that they are not equipped to deal with. If we're being honest, right? So like we deal with things that we go, man, that was so incredibly challenging. And so now think about dealing with something that while it may not be on the same level, it is to them. So dealing with things that feel like, man, this feels like a monster size problem, or, hey, I'm lacking significant awareness, or I'm continuing to display disrespect, whatever the behavioral thing may be. As adults who are pouring into those students, what would you say is one of the most important things for us to remember?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, honestly, the impact that we have just being consistent and being present. Like, I think sometimes we forget that literally your presence and your consistency is helping build in students a foundation for understanding healthy relationships, creating healthy boundaries and expectations. When you get it wrong, because you're going to, like when you say the wrong thing or respond the wrong way and you recognize like, oh, I think I hurt my student in some capacity, you know, their feelings or whatever. The best thing that we can do is go back and try to repair that. Try to have a conversation, maybe not that night, maybe it's the next week, but man, modeling like the ability to come back when we've made a mistake and look for an opportunity to rebuild that, looking for ways to navigate conflict and upset in healthy ways. Like it might be one of the most valuable things that our students get from being a part of Switch and having healthy adult relationships in their life.
Absolutely. Few things model humility better than apologizing when you've made a mistake. And I think sometimes as adults, we get really nervous. We're like, man, I can't do that because I'm an adult. I'm supposed to be in this authority position. And that's a really unhealthy place to find yourself. If you can't apologize to a student as an adult, you are misunderstanding your role. Your role is not to always be the person in charge. Your role is to be a guide, and a guide shows what to do right. And then sometimes, like when they accidentally show what to do wrong, a good guide points out, hey, don't do it that way. So it's okay. You're going to make some mistakes. There might be a time that you were at work and you're exhausted and you came to switch and you're a little short fused and you just didn't have it in you and you mess up. It happens. We don't expect perfection. You have to be able to go, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I just was a little too short there. I wouldn't want you to respond to me that way, and I shouldn't respond to you that way, and I apologize. Yeah. You know, it's shocking how much that will repair. It's Man. The simplest thing, and it's shocking how much that will repair. So, mm-hmm. Jess, thanks so much for doing this today, for taking the time to be here. Yeah. Those of you listening, I hope that you took something valuable from this. I hope that it equipped you to feel, I mean, whether you have a student in your group like this right now or you will in the future, because you're one of those two people. So you fit in one of those two categories, and whichever one you're in, I hope it equipped you in a way that made you feel like, hey, I have some knowledge now that I didn't have before, and I'm going to put that in my tool belt, and I'm going to be able to use this moving forward. We appreciate so much that you guys take the time to listen to this podcast. It tells us that you care about being better as a leader in life and better as a switch leader that is investing in the teenagers in our church. So we appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us on the Switch Leader Podcast, where we decide today the leader we will be tomorrow.